Blessing again to be gathered together as children of God to see what He has for us in the Word. I appreciated that devotional. The devotional actually brought out the burden for the sermon, in the sermon that was on my heart as I studied this. As I thought about respect for civil authority and what does God want of us this evening as we consider this subject? And I think it's so true that God has called us to be lights in this dark world. And there's a lot of disrespect for civil authority. And we hear that. I hear it a lot anyway. And so where do we fit in? What is our testimony to the world around about us? What do they see in us? Do they see a shining light? What do we say when we hear this disrespect? Do we just kind of blush and go on, or do we have words to speak? And we want to see what God has for us this evening in His Word. He gives us direction. He does give us practical direction on how to respond to the civil authorities. So this evening, what do we mean by civil authorities? I think overall we think about the various parts of the government, the U.S. government, of any government that we are under, and not only the leaders in Washington, D.C., but those that you see driving up and down your streets in town. And beyond, all those that work for some government office, we need to respect them all. Are they all worthy of respect? Some of the things that we want to consider tonight. Some people, quite a few people out there, they are very convinced that the government is out to make life hard for them. Recently talked to a man that needed to do some dealing with part of the some government system, and what he was set out to do didn't work, and he was just convinced that they just make this thing so tight that they really don't want you to be able to make it anyway. And I really don't think that's well. Yeah, it was just ridiculous. Well, we hear that different times, and especially last fall as it was building up to election time, and my neighbor was so convinced that the government was just out to destroy and to just take advantage of everybody. Well, this evening the scripture tells us the very opposite. The government is not out there. The civil authorities are not out there to make life hard for those that want to live right, those that want to respect them. And again, it is that simple formula. If you respect them, they will very likely respect you. It's a formula that works. It's actually God's formula. It doesn't always happen that way. But you know what? God's Word says respect them anyway. So why do we respect them? Romans 13. Turn there. We want to look at a few verses. Do we believe tonight that the civil authority is ordained of God? You know, unless the Scripture, I mean, if the Scripture didn't say it this way, I would kind of struggle to believe it. And maybe sometimes still do. As we think of people that are ordained of God, we think of our church leaders, right? Well, the civil authority has been ordained of God. Look, notice verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power, there is no authority but of God. The authority that be are ordained of God. So your local policeman has been ordained of God for the position that he has. And it says here that we are all to submit ourselves. That word subject means to submit ourselves to those higher powers, because God has placed them in the office they are. Are they workers of the kingdom? No. Are they followers of Jesus Christ? No. But they are ordained of God to be in the position they are. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, or resisteth and disrespects the authority, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's a very strong verse, very challenging verse. But you know, brothers and sisters, it is in the Word of God. And it means what it says, that if we resist the civil authority, and that's what we talk about this evening, if we resist that, if we disrespect it, we're disrespecting and resisting the ordinance of God. And we're going to be under damnation, condemnation. Okay, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? You're not going to respect it. Why wouldn't you respect the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, we must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We could say respect to whom respect is due. Does that mean that they have earned it? Not necessarily. But God has placed them there. God says don't resist them. He says honor them. He says they are there for protection. They are there to as helpers. As we think of authority, remember what we looked at this morning, the definition for authority, those that God has placed in our lives to give us guidance in various aspects of life. That is what the civil authority, they've been placed there by God to give you direction for everyday life, various aspects of your life. So he also says here in verse 5, that we need to be subject to them. We need to be in subjection to them, not only for wrath's sake. In other words, not so that we don't, you know, it's best for me to stay in the speed limit, which is hard up and down this last road before church here, by the way. But it is better for me to stay in a speed limit, not because I'm afraid of who might stop me, but for conscience sake. What does that mean? Why for conscience sake do I need to keep it at 20 miles an hour, whatever it is, very slow? Because the powers that be, the powers that God has ordained, has posted these signs for the safety of everyone. And so I am concerned about my obedience to God. And so therefore, I am to be willing and cheerfully drive the slow speed limit. Okay? That's as practical as you can get it, and as simple as you can get it. But that's what these verses tell us. Let's look at an example. In the Old Testament, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 24. Here we have a man that is faced with a challenge. And we want to take an example from him here and draw some thoughts of that. 1 Samuel chapter 24. Here we have David. And David is running from Saul. Saul was the king. Saul was also his father-in-law for a while. And poor Saul got very distracted, sidetracked from his calling. And he felt challenged because of his, he felt his authority or his position was being challenged. Here was David that he knew and felt that was going to be the next king, and somehow he needed to get rid of this man because he wanted the position that he had. Saul wanted that, and so he left his God-given responsibilities behind and ran after David. Now, David was God's anointed. He was going to be the next king, but David ran. And a king that, to be here in a place where David went into this cave, and they were way back inside, and here comes Saul and his men into the cave for a little. And let's pick up in verse 4. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it seem good unto thee. You know what, David? Here is your opportunity. Here is this king, and you're going to go ahead and just do what is good, what seems good unto you. And David listened to that to an extent. He said, he rose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. He goes on to say how he made reconciliation there. He repented of this thing and confessed to Saul what he had done. But notice David's attitude. Saul was totally out of his place. He was not earning his respect. Did he deserve respect? Well, he personally maybe didn't deserve respect, but look at David's attitude about it. He said, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, to the Lord's anointed. That's how it smote him. And he ran after Saul and he said, Look what I've done. He said, I could have killed you. Matter of fact, somebody said I should, but I didn't because you are the Lord's anointed. We see his attitude there of respect to the Lord's anointed. Even though Saul was the kind of person he was, how do we relate to that? Does that exempt us from being respectful? And so when you do meet up with a civil authority and they're being very disrespectful to you, is it okay to be disrespectful to them? I mean, after all, see how they're treating me. I did something here a number of years ago that civil authority thought it was best to stop me. I didn't think I did anything wrong. I still don't, but he did. And he was furious. I mean, he came to my window and he was beside himself. And just calm down, okay? It ain't that bad, but in his eyes it was. Did it give me rights to be upset at him and just lighten it all? Respect. God's anointed was standing before me, and I needed to respect him, and I trust I did. And $110 later, I was okay to go again. But it taught me a lesson. How do we respond when people don't earn their respect? Well, God's word says respect them anyway. Respect them anyway. That God's anointed. We talked this morning about if we want to be respected, we need to earn our respect in the line of our children and our brothers and sisters. But see, there is a difference once it comes to training our children. We need to respect them. We need to teach them to respect authority regardless whether they deserve it or not. As parents, we need to be respectful. We need to feel like we need to earn that, but yet we expect respect from them. But teach them that they need to respect authority whether they earned it or not. I think it's a very important thing that we can teach our children, and we need to teach our children. And the challenge comes up maybe in later, a little later in life than just your young children, when the teenagers at times face the civil authority in various ways. We treat them, how do they treat them? Do we treat them with respect? Are we teaching them? Do we set that godly example before them, fathers? Getting ahead of myself just a little bit here. Let's think about it. How do we talk about the civil authority? It should always be in a respectful way. And by the way, yes sir, yes ma'am is an order. Treat them because they are God's ordained. An interesting thing that happens down in the South, I don't know if you got them up here, but they often have a police check. You can be driving down the road and you see a number of police cars parked at an intersection and you just got to stop. And it's usually a driver's license check. And so they either want the registration and your driver's license. And a number of times that I have gone to church without my wallet. Just don't like it in my pocket. Don't feel like leaving it in the van, so I just leave it at home. And but what do? Get to a police check and they want my driver's license. And there's been a few times where I missed it. Well, this police check is a mile or two from home, and I said, hey, just been at church, didn't bother grabbing my wallet, but I can go home and I'll bring it to you. And they bend down and look into my van and, oh no, you're fine, we know you, just keep going. Well, they don't know me, but they know where I stand. The testimony is there, I trust, and we want to keep that. I'm very jealous for that. But all they need to do is glimpse at my family and they know where we're at. We're not the ones they're looking for. And like I said, I'm very jealous for that testimony. How do we talk about them? There's too many humor that has been made for civil authority. And some of the terms that have got that are being used for the civil authority, especially for the policemen, I think should not be named among us. We need to use respectful terms for them. Let's look at Titus chapter 3. We have some direction here. As we think of being lights in this world, being godly examples, testimony in the communities. Titus 3, verse 1 and 2. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Gives us that direction to speak evil of no man, of the magistrates, of the powers, the authorities. Direction out of God's word. Direction that those that are coming up behind us, our children, our teenagers, grandchildren, what do they hear from us? So what example do they have? You know, there's two things that you can teach your children about policemen. For one, you could teach them that you need to be scared of them. I mean, after all, they're out to get people. And so if you don't behave yourself, I trust we don't teach our children that. Very disrespectful thing to teach them, by the way. But we can teach them that they're our friends. Are they? Are the policemen your friends? Why not? If they aren't, I trust they are. It's something that we can teach and encourage one another in. Do they know? Do our children and youth know that they are out there to help us? We read there in Romans 13 that they are ordained of God to be helpers. Let me just get the right wording there. They're not a terror to good works, but to evil. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bear not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, to revenge, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Oh, verse 3, that's the thought I wanted. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. As we think about being a light in this world, as we think about responding to the civil authority, and there is various ones. It's not the only the local policeman, but there's others. What about the IRS? That's a wing of the civil authority as well, aren't they? And somehow we don't get, we kind of get this idea we don't really care for them. Or why? Why is that? Well, I think the biggest thing is because they sure like to take our money. And so we can come up with stories, and we can come up with a lot of humor about the IRS and jokes and cartoons and etc. because are they not ordained of God as well? The powers that be are ordained of God. Do they not have the rights to do what they do? Why do they? Why is it okay? Well, I think before while we're on that, let's look at Matthew chapter 22. Thinking about that aspect of the civil authorities. Matthew 22, this question came up. The Pharisees brought this question to Jesus. Matthew 22, verse 17, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? This was some kind of tax, and we're not going to go into what kind of tax it was. But is it okay? Is it lawful for us to pay that tax unto Caesar? But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he says, show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny, and he said unto them, whose image and superscription? Whose is this image and superscription? They said unto him, Caesar. Then he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. There's other passages that talk about it. Romans 13, we read unto them, we read those verses, that we need to pay tribute where tribute is due. Okay? But what if they abuse it? Oh, they do. Is it okay? Yes. God still wants us to do that. And let me remind you this evening again that it is disrespectful. Even just to fuss and fume about it. And our children hear that at times. God forbid. Teach us to respect. There's many things that we take for granted. Okay? We don't want to pay taxes. We fuss to do that. But when that road gets bumpy and full of holes and mud, we fuss and fume about that. Why doesn't somebody do something about it? You know, it just boils down to selfishness again, doesn't it? It really does. Now, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 9 and 10, Peter tells us here that you are a chosen generation. We are looking at verse 9 and 10 for a moment, reminding us of who we are. Okay, look at that. Who are we in this world? You are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Brothers and sisters, tonight, that's who we are. We are a chosen generation. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we need to walk as children of light. We saw that in Ephesians. Walk as children of light. And one of the ways we can do that is by showing respect. So those verses remind us of who we are in this world. We didn't deserve it. We were at one time not a people. And he is talking here, I think, to the Gentiles. The Gentiles had no part in it at one point. But now are the people of God. So we can be the child of God tonight. We have obtained mercy. Now, verse 11. And go on to a number of verses here. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation or your life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. That is a powerful verse. He tells us to have our conversation, our life, our behavior honest among the Gentiles. And sometimes that's hard. That's hard. But he says, have it honest among the Gentiles, that they may speak of you as evildoers. But notice the last part of that verse. They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. It may be just the testimony that they need of turning them around and glorifying God in their own lives. Brothers and sisters, let's not ruin that testimony in any way. Verse 13. Submit yourselves, therefore, to every ordinance of man. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them which are sent by them for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For it is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Peter's burden for the church was to live as servants of God, live as a chosen generation. He says it is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Did you know that the scripture, when it says that a soft answer turneth away wrath, did you know that it still works today? Have you tried it? It does. It is the will of God. He says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. And sometimes we, as Mennonites, I think we struggle with this. We think there should be exceptions. No, there's no exceptions for Mennonites once it comes to obedience to civil authority, or the way we respect them, or the way we drive, or any other way. There is no exceptions to it in this world. It is the will of God that we are obedient to it. And we're going to have praise of them that do well. They are there to praise us for that, but that's not why we do it. We do it for conscience sake. He says, honor all men, respect them, and love the brotherhood, and fear God. That is the key to it all, I think, is fear and respect to God. What does God think about this? If I go speeding, or if I... No, I don't cheat on my taxes. I just find enough of loopholes, we call that, right? Or something. There is loopholes, okay? Don't get me wrong. But are they legal loopholes, okay? Anyway, fear God. That's who we're going to be accountable to. That's who you need to fear. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2 and the first three verses is another response that we can have to authority. First Timothy 2 verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. Now notice, did you notice that phrase in verse 1, and giving of thanks? Sometimes we may find that hard once it comes to civil authority. But if our attitude is right, and our view of them is right, that they are ministers of God, why not thank Him for it? Imagine what life would be without them. It'd be worse. The lawlessness, and etc., etc. But God's word commands us to give thanks. We need to pray for them, intercede for them, and thank God for them. He says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And you know, we want that last part of the verse. We want to lead a quiet and peaceable life. We enjoy that in America at this point. We don't know how long. And I'm not sure what is all going out there on in the political world. That's a world that we're not really part of. That's a different kingdom. But things are happening out there. But he says we need to pray that we can continue to live this way. Pray for the authority. Thank God for them. And you know what? That is going to be a powerful thing, a teaching tool to your children, by the way, if they hear mom and dad pray for the civil authorities. And then respect them and talk respectfully. So let us be faithful in doing that. And remember that they have been there, placed there by God. And I think that is the biggest thing. And the testimony that we leave as we go about our day-to-day responsibilities and we face various aspects of the civil authority. As we think about the thought in closing here on the subject of respect, it does boil down to our love for each one. We've read those verses today. We thought about those and various things. And a loving home is going to be a respectful home. A respectful home is going to have a lot of love in it. And a brotherhood that respects each other. You know, you don't really want to. You don't really respect somebody unless you love the person. Okay, so do we love one another within the brotherhood? Do we thank God for the civil authorities? Do we pray for them? Wasn't there a story in one of the church papers recently about praying with policemen? I've never had the opportunity, at least not taken it, never thought of that. But that was a good story. Pray for them. Maybe there's opportunities we have to tell them that we're praying for them. Every now and then we get this call that they want money for their police drive and et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, I won't necessarily support it financially, but we do pray for our authorities. And they appreciate that, but they still want your money. But we pray for them. And that's what our scripture says. So as we think about loving one another, as we think about the great responsibility as shining lights in this world, how do we bring these subjects to a close tonight? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's kneel for prayer. Tonight, we have again looked into your word. We understand your word is clear on how to respond to civil authorities. And tonight we want to pray for them. And we pray a blessing upon them, wisdom in their work and responsibilities. And Father, we also pray for their souls, that they may find you. And I pray, Father, as each one of us goes about our daily lives, that we would show such a testimony to those around about us and to the civil authorities that they may see those good works and be able to glorify you in the day of visitation and come to know you, that we would not ruin that testimony of God's people, and we would respect them as ministers of God, and that they could be drawn to you. So Father, work in their hearts, work in our hearts, and help us to be those shining lights in this dark world, Father, and be faithful in whatever you have for us, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.